Now, the changing of California to, as you're saying, sweeping the state in 58, that's taking place then after you're already down in Long Beach?
Yes, the council system was very, very well established in my old district. And we were the first one that really had a going council system.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Voorhees wanted them all to get together, the clubs and the county, and the state committee and the county committee, because his district was so big or so spread. And if somebody,
actually, if I just sit forward a little, I'm fine.
Anyway, he asked if we all couldn't get together, and we formed our own bylaws, and we sort of had the original council down there, the old 12th Congressional Council. Then we had small ones in each of the three assembly districts, and we I know years later when Helen Myers and Don Rose and worked in the whole statewide. Cranston, you know, was the one that called the first meeting up at Asilmire for the council movement. They used our old bylaws, and that old Judge Galano. I mean, we were in his office late one night and worked on those bylaws. And when I got up here, it seemed
Judge Galano was what was
Secretary or something. We had an office, and he was an attorney, and he worked on the old bylaw. He was chairman of the committee.
I was just wondering if those would be around anywhere.
I'm going to try and see.
Yeah, that would be good.
Because I wonder if Richard Richards has them. Mm-hmm. Because I know I've got some of the books here that when I was secretary of the old council there, and I've got all those old books.
Mm-hmm.
I went across them the other day, or came across them, and I didn't have much problem because I wrote down everything, almost every word everybody said. So I sure kept a good record, and I didn't take shorthand either. But it was really an awfully exciting period when we had these great big statewide conventions in Fresno, and our Democratic Study Club was the biggest club here, so we had the biggest delegation.
This is in
Long Beach, and we brought all we had. So much excitement, and we had so much. always had factions and always fought each other and had more fun. And I know one time we wanted so hard to have the group I was with wanted a new chairman. We voted on our chairman of the local district up there.
Mm-hmm.
Just
this
the delegates
the,
to the convention could vote.
The convention of the California Democratic Clubs?
The council.
Uh-huh.
The chairman of the council for the Clark District, our delegates up there, voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had two people that were delegates that that didn't come. But I was for another candidate in Dick Cartwright. He was the big labor guy in the district. And they had their votes all counted, but I made a motion that that there was one young fellow, a young Democrat that they all said was going to come and hadn't arrived yet. And I said, well, now since he's paying his way up here to Fresno, I don't think it's fair that we have the election tonight and it's so late. And I made a motion that we had it at the 8 o'clock Sunday morning. And so they thought I was being so magnanimous because they knew he was going to vote on their side. Anyway, we had three delegates that we knew of that weren't coming, but they were eligible to vote. So, boy, we got busy on the phone at midnight that night. And one old lady, she was about 75 years old, and it was Mary Renee. I call Renee Simon half the time Mary Renee because her name was so familiar. And Lou Foshnot was was one on the county committee and another one. Well, nobody dreamed that they would be here, but we called up Lou, and he was in bed, and I said, well, you absolutely have to go after Mary Renee and this other person and get up here. We have to have your vote. And he thought we were crazy, but he said he would. And we called up Renee and Mary and said that, told us that Poshnot would be after within a half hour. She said, well, I'm in bed. He said, well, you get up. And, you know, when they came in the morning, I'm telling you, there was such, they couldn't understand it. Well, then we had the vote, so we won with our candidate. And I remember that night there was a big banquet, and I was taking a shower, and somehow it was in the tub, the shower, and I slipped, and I had a great big bump here, and I had my tooth broken. I guess they filed it off, but I had a cut through my lip. And, oh, I looked so troubled. I had my money all paid for the banquet. So, anyway, I shouldn't have gone because I was still sorry in a daze. But I went down, and gosh, that's the first time we'd come together after the vote, you know. And so they said, they all looked at me and folks said, well, what's the matter? And I said, well, Dick Cartwright just beat me up. And Dick come in and said, well, what's the matter? I said, oh, hadn't you heard? I said, you beat me up. So anyway, we all made up, but oh, we were sure mad beforehand.
When you pick people to back, what sorts of things do you look for in a candidate before you decide? I mean, of all the people who are saying they're going to run for an office, what makes you pick one above the others?
Well, it's I know in our first meeting here in our own assembly district, I nominated Fred Schell, and he was the young attorney, and he was born and educated, raised in Holland, and he went over here, come over here, and finished law in Pepperdine, and he worked in Ray Simpson's office. He was an attorney with Ray. Well, that's the reason I nominated Fred.
Because he worked in Ray.
Well, I just knew him, mm-hmm. You know, and I didn't. And the other candidate was Tom Griffin, who was a perfectly nice fellow, but he won. And they said the reason they didn't want to vote for Schell was because he had an accent, and said that this district wouldn't go for anybody with an accent. He had quite an accent then. He was Dutch. He was from Holland. And our congressional candidate at that time was Harry May. And he had an accent, and they said, well, he was Jewish. And so anyway, I didn't win with Schell.
This is in the 50s. Uh-huh, you suppose
in the 50s.
Any of that is sort of a...
Yeah. So Schell, then after that he ran for a water commissioner on, but he didn't get some Republican real estate man, so he said he was never going to run for office again. But he wasn't either until we got it here where he didn't have an incumbent to run against, mm-hmm. 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And but when I first come down, Jerry Desmond was the assembly candidate. And I gave a house meeting for him on, I had gone to a North Platte picnic and met quite a few people on this side of town that were formerly from North Platte.
This is a North Platte picnic. It's held in
Long Beach. My hometown. And it's been held in Long Beach since 1914, the second Sunday in March. And so I had about 25 or 30 people there, and I had just come down here. I didn't know hardly anybody, but Jerry Desmond was our candidate, but he didn't win. It was just too solid a Republican area then. But then in 54, well, at that time, in the 52, Stevenson was governor, ran president, and Keith Olver also ran, and Estes Keith Olver won in California. Mm-hmm. So the delegation from California had to vote for Keith Olver, but Trafalgar didn't win. Stevenson won, and he chose Sparkman for his vice presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. So 52, it was Stevenson and Sparkman.
And that's the first year after you're living in Long Beach.
And I was on the executive committee then, and when Stevenson came to Long Beach, we rented the auditorium for a big affair, and we worked so hard for it. I'll show you later a lot of pictures that we had taken then. But there was a optician. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right. Anyway, he had seen in the paper that there was an old lady in a convalescent home that was 100 years old that day. And so he took it on himself to tell this old lady and her folks that Stevenson was going to stop and give her some flowers. Well, then after he made arrangements with the old lady, they called the L.A. office, and they were already somewhere else, and they never got the message. Mm-hmm. They said, well, we can't get a hold of them. They're here and here and here. Well, we had the old Breakers Hotel. I had a Democratic headquarters down in the basement. They gave me headquarters free down there. Mm-hmm. And, I got the most beautiful flowers for the stage, and they had the loveliest baskets, but they made me promise that I'd get the baskets back the next day because it was Sunday and they had a great big wedding. Well, anyway, poor, I can remember Kenick was on one side of him and I was on the other, and he looked up and saw that, you know, our old auditorium had the big word auditorium out, and he said, auditorium, he said, taken from, it's a Greek word, he says, audio, here, and Taurus, is taken Taurium, and Taurus the bull. He says, oh, those poor people, the bull they're going to have to hear tonight. And anyway, he was so wonderful. He just had them all mesmerized. He was, you just can't conceive of anybody so wonderful as Stevenson. Well, anyway, after the affair was over, we got these flowers back in the headquarters, and late at night, and the manager saw us bringing them in there. Well, no one was ever supposed to, they weren't supposed to give the key to anybody. There were just a few people that would have the key. Well, the next afternoon, early afternoon in the morning, I rushed down there to get the flowers back or the baskets back to the, because I just hate to tell anybody I'll do something and not do it to get the back of the flowers. Well, I found an old lady in the headquarters, old Lorraine Doyle Wilson, who was the sister of Clyde Doyle, who was our congressman here, but when they split it, he chose to run in the northern half of the district where it was Democrat. But she just thought she was, everybody should practically genuflect to her because she was the congressman's sister. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, how did you get in here? And she said, oh, they gave me the key. She says, I told them I was Congressman Doyle's sister. So I said, well, where are the flowers? She said, well, the manager followed me in and said that on a national television that bride and groom, the manager of the hotel followed little Lorraine Doyle Wilson in the headquarters and said, I saw them bring these beautiful flowers here last night, and this couple won a big bridal suite here. Mm-hmm. And said it would, they're going to arrive any time, and it would be so nice to have these flowers in their room because there's no doing no good here. So she says, why take them? Well, they're just locked up in this room here, in this headquarters, and doing no good here. Well, when I come out, and so I went to them, I says, well, since they've arrived, and they're in, and they're not to be disturbed, and we can't disturb them, you can't have the flowers. And I said, well, I've got to have the baskets. And says, you just can't. Well, I was in the headquarters, and Stevenson called and said he had just seen a piece in the paper, Saturday's paper, that they'd got for him. And he said, well, I see where I was to stop at a convalescent home. And I said, yes, you were, but that wasn't, anyway, that was just added. I didn't know who did it and all this. And he said, well, that's just terrible. So I have the lady's name. He says, and said, would you mind bringing her
one of those bouquets of flowers, and I'll write her a letter. Now, wasn't that sweet of him to call back? He just felt so bad to think that it was advertised that he would stop there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the old lady, I brought her some of the flowers.
How did you get the flowers?
Well, I had to buy them. I had to buy some flowers because I did get the baskets back. I made, after late in the afternoon, I just got the hotel man. I got him so mad, and so he got the flowers in some other containers, and I got the baskets back to the florist after the wedding, and oh, were they mad. But I bought flowers to bring to the old lady, and here the day before, there her family had come in, and she was had her hair fixed and was so dolled up to have, she was supposed to be a good Democrat, and had her hair fixed up for pictures, and mm-hmm. all those things happen. You think it's about the worst tragedy on earth. Then in 54...
So Stevenson, you ended up just having to patch the situation up and act as the diplomat.
Yeah, I had to tell him that he hadn't received the message from Los Angeles. And I told the truth that he had called back when he saw it in the paper, and he was so perturbed about it. But wasn't that sweet of him to call personally and not have one of his aides do it or anything? But, oh, he was just a wonderful man. And then 54, we had a... Richard Graves was our gubernatorial candidate, mm-hmm. and he wasn't a bit well known, but he was a very, very able man. He was president of the League of California Cities, and he knew city government was his. I think he was the mayor of Oakland, mm-hmm. and government was his whole philosophy, his whole life. But he didn't have much of a chance. But I know at that time I got such a kick out of a call I received from a lady who was at the Breakers on a convention, some lodge convention, and she said she was the governor's mother, the governor, the nominee's mother, and so she wanted me to come to lunch with her. So I went down there, and she was a nice little lady. She was a little short and squatty, she said, now you're the on the executive committee here, and I know just exactly how you can elect my son. Said, I got out and worked our precinct in the primary, and they'd never gone Democrat before, but I called on every door and told them that was my son running and why he won so big, and all you have to do is get somebody for every precinct. And she went on and on and on, and I sat there and listened to her. And here she was had been a former teacher and was a university graduate. And so I said, Mrs. Graves, how many precincts have you ever worked besides this one? Oh, it's the first time I ever did anything like that. And I said, well, you know, it took the fact that you had a son running for governor to get you out, and yet you say you've been a lifelong Democrat, you've always been interested in politics, and you're educated. And I said, now if it took the fact of your son running for governor before you ever stirred yourself out, how do you expect me to get 300 people to get out and work and ring doorbells for somebody they'd never even heard of? Wouldn't I mean? But I get such a kick out of all these people that have all the answers the first time they've ever done anything.
So, by the time that Stevenson was running, well, by 54 when he's running.
Because 54 was not the presidential year. It was the gubernatorial year.
But by then you've had about... about 25 years or so.
Oh, I think so,
of campaigning.
Yeah. But Vin Farney was our assembly candidate. Of course, he didn't win. He was an attorney here. And I guess he was very nice.
This is the same year?
Yes, 54. He was, his family and his wife, they must have been superior people in that they had a child that was... he was all not only retarded. I don't know whether he was a mongoloid, but he was in awful bad shape. But they started our big home here for, they called it for exceptional children. It's out on
Yellow. The Long Beach Home for Exceptional Children.
And it's they started it because of their interest in their son. Their son is now dead, but he and his wife not only did that, but they got a big rummage place going somewhere that they get that's constantly going, and they get the proceeds from that to help all the time. Mm-hmm. And
something
they,
like a thrift shop?
Yes, or? And they incorporate, I mean, they did all the legal work. They did everything to keep it going, and now it's one of the finest, I guess, around here. But Ben was chairman of our council that year, and we had one of the worst types that I had ever known was the assembly candidate in the other district, in the 44th, and his name was Dick Nussel, Richard Nussel. And I'm telling you that Nussel, he was so obnoxious, and so, but he just evidently, he was really had money back of him. And Coy Sanders, who was a real estate man here, was running also for the assembly, and Simpson begged me to help Coy. That's it, he got Sanders on my dog there, that bumper sticker. But I did all I could for Coy Sanders, and but Nussel won. But Nussel,
this is when Roxy, dog Roxy, carrying the sandwich board.
Yeah, a sandwich board for Sanders. But one morning Sanders called me up and he said, "Well, I've always heard these things went on in politics, but I didn't believe it." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, Ben Farney came to me and told me that he had, that if I'd withdraw from the race and endorse Nussel, that I would have all my campaign expenses paid, as well as $1,000, all the money I've put out."
Oh, wait, which party is Ben?
Ben Farney was the head of our council then.
Of the
Democratic council for the
and
whole
Ben
congressional
Farney
district.
Ben Farney is the one who makes this offer.
And
to
Ben Farney made it to Coy Sanders. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, I can't believe you." And he says, "Well, it's true." Well, did I ever tell you this before?
No.
And I met Ben on the street, and I ripped him up and down, and I said, "So you're the clean new breeze in Democratic politics."
Wait
and
a minute, I think you did mention the
street. I think I did.
Right out on the street, yeah.
Oh, and I ripped him. I said, "You're not fit to be a Democrat." And I just raved and ratted to him so terribly that, he never showed his face. And I asked him why I did it, and he said, "Well, Nussel asked him to." And he said, "I was to get $1,000, too." So I don't know whether he was to get it for the council or for himself, but anyway,
so
that's
Richard
what
Nussel
he said.
So Richard Nussel offered Farney.
Farney.
And
he instead
Sanders
of,
both
yeah,
money
to... for
to,
if Farney could get... because Farney was chairman of the council here. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, we were all upset about it, and I told Ray, and Ray, we talked it over with Kinnick, and Kinnick said, "Well, just keep it quiet, so just don't mention it." But anyway, I called up Cranston. Cranston was chairman of the statewide council, and told him, and he said, "Well, write it all out and kick him out of office, make him resign." Well, he did resign because we treated him so terrible. But did I told you the story about how my son adopted a baby, and see now this is how poor Farney was just dumb. I guess he just thought that that's what things were done, and none of them would get elected anyway. Old Clockseam was the Republican over there, and it would. He figured that Sanders could get his way. He just didn't think he was doing anything evil at all. Mm-hmm. That Sanders would get his way paid and get a little money. And evidently, old Nussel had Nussel wouldn't get elected either, which he didn't. Mm-hmm. But years later, because he has this good spot in him, he somebody told my son that you always have to hire an attorney when you adopt somebody. And mm-hmm. my son adopted 3 children. And I think the second one, somebody told him that Farney would be so cheap to get all the papers that he I think his son was adopted when he was mm-hmm. a tiny. Oh, I don't know whether he was or not, but he just thinks it's so nice for people to adopt babies that he will do this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, when he went to him, he said that he is Noel Remley, and he said... "Are you any relation to Zita Remley?" He said, "Well, yeah, she's my mother." He says, "Well, she read me out of the Democratic Party." So Noel said, "But boy, mother," he said, "I thought he was going to back down, but he did it. He handled all the papers and was very good to them and didn't charge
so
them very much."
These things do follow you, huh?
Yeah, it's just too bad. Like
check on this. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
like you told me about, I kicked a gal out of the headquarters and I felt so bad.
I think it's fine. I just want to keep track of how far. We've still got some time on it. Yeah. Well, in all of these things that you're telling me, I was just wondering, with the activity that you have, is Lou throughout this period is working for the Long Beach School District?
Yes.
Did he ever get upset about your being away from home or anything?
No. I was always here at mealtime. I had the meal on the table.
So you still, whatever you were doing, you still had to come home.
Oh, yes. They all had their food, and they were all had, the house was let go a lot of times, but at least he had his meals and he had his clothes clean.
And so as long as the meal was on the table,
he never cared. But in 54, we finally won with Kinnick. Kinnick won over Toxie. Of course, when we first started down here, Carl Fletcher won in the other district, but he
was a Democrat.
Yes, and he was defeated in 52. Mm-hmm. Then Cloxine was elected, but Kinnick won in 54.
And now, which office is this for?
The Assembly District in the old
the
40,
state
the old
assembly.
West side of town,
mm-hmm.
And he won the State Assembly. So that year we had one. One winner besides Brown as Attorney General. We had we worked so hard that year for our statewide candidates. Sam Collins ran for controller, and Hank Lopez is the first time we had a minority on a statewide ticket, but he didn't win, and it was just such a shame that this Sam Collins, he was from San Francisco, and such a shame. You see, the Assembly runs every 2 years, and if they run for a statewide office, you can't run for two at the same time, so we lost a real good seat there. Then in 56, it was Stevenson Kefauver,
mm-hmm.
And Simpson again ran for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't win, and Danny Bryce and Nussel again in the 44th. But Danny Bryce was an awfully nice, very, very bright young man who was a plasterer, and he ran for in this district, and he was defeated, and he decided that he was going to run for politics, but the next time he ran, he'd run as a Democrat, as an attorney, and he started to go in the night school, and he had to go first to finish college, and now he's a very prominent attorney over in Orange County.
So he changed from being a plasterer to an attorney.
To an attorney,
so
but he never ran for office again, but I think he had that in his mind, but he had family trouble. They moved out of the district. But 58 is when we had the big, big campaign, when we won with Brown for governor, and Anderson,
mm-hmm.
for lieutenant governor. Then in this district, I managed Stanley Mosks and Cranston and his campaign. Cranston was running for controller,
mm-hmm.
and he won. And Stanley Mosk won as attorney general. And
so the
Anderson,
main campaigns you worked on were Mosk. In
yeah, well, I was on the executive committee, so you're but they had their other campaign organizations, but I was ahead of Mosk's and Cranston's. Then I got Don Foltz to be ahead of Richard Richards' campaign, and oh, we worked hard. And in that time, we got them all nominated in the primary, and then. Lou was their work here in Long Beach was petering out in the schools, so he was laid off, and he tried to get, he got back again right away with the USCD, United States Engineering Department, mm-hmm. but it was in San Francisco.
And this is in which year?
58. Uh-huh. So. He went up there to San Francisco and stayed for a long time without me, and I just couldn't move.
And but this is by this time, are all of your children out of the house and
they're all
married
out of school. Well, Joe was married the next year in 59.
Mm-hmm.
But Noah was living at home here, and he wasn't married. And but I just had to move up there because I couldn't, you know, it just wasn't fair. And so I really had an awfully good time in San Francisco. We got an apartment right downtown. And I never will forget